podcast does not represent the stand-up of Tim Babb.
Hey kids, it's Tim. Somehow our episode ended up going long, but we still forgot to mention to please nominate us at podcastawards.com. The nominations close November 21st, 2010 at 11:59 p.m. We'd really appreciate it if you nominate us in the best comedy category if you think we are the best comedy podcast. If not, whew, I don't know what to tell you. Sorry we let you down. And we're going to let you down some more with this week's episode. Enjoy! Tim!
Andy!
Noah!
Dankast!
In 2001, three friends moved into a house together.
Because their names were Tim, Andy, and Noah, they called the place the Tan House.
By 2007, these friends had gone their separate ways.
Andy to Atlanta,
Noah to San Francisco,
and Tim to Los Angeles.
Now they get together on the internet every week and discuss movies,
TV,
tech,
politics,
food,
Disney,
comics,
Star Trek,
Apple,
or sometimes just stories of the good old days.
These conversations are raw, explicit, and contain adult themes and content.
This podcast is not recommended for younger listeners or anyone.
When you hear this sound, that means there's a link to what the boys are talking about in the show notes.
If none of this has scared you off, then you are prepared to listen to the Tancast.
Welcome to Tancast!
Indeed. Indeed.
Episode 125, I think.
Let's just say it is. Episode 125. If this is, in fact, episode 126, then you are all having flashbacks. If this is 124, then welcome to the future.
The future!
The future!
The world is folding in on itself. Yes, it is. It's 125. It's 125. I've confirmed we are in fact on 125. I've now received confirmed reports from our website, which says the last episode is 124.
I went and ran the same report, so I can confirm Tim's independent research.
By the way, this is T, the Tim and Tancast reporting.
This is A, the Andy and Tancast. Motherfucker.
Noah.
Yeah.
You want to hop on board this train?
Nah, I'm unstoppable.
Clearly you're stoppable.
No, this is in the Noah and Tancast.
Woo.
No, if you were the train from that movie, you'd just be sitting at the station. Denzel Washington and Chris Pine would be running all over you going, "We gotta stop the train!" The train would be going, "Hawa."
Let's do some tan laughs.
Let's.
It's time to laugh. It's time for tan laughs. You send in the jokes and we will read them on your behalf. Send them along to your mom at tancast.com.
The price is wrong, bitch.
I think you've had enough,
bitch.
Ooh, can I go first this time?
Knock yourself out.
Hooray! This one comes from Gray, an avid listener in Kenya, despite his, and I'm quoting, desperate attempts to stab my ears out to stop the mediocrity. That was too awesome to pass up, so here's your joke. What's the best thing about having sex with a six-year-old?
What?
Hearing their pelvic bone cracking.
Wait, did
that
you...
was awful. Thank you, Gray.
Sorry, my thing's a little low. Did you say their name?
Yeah, Gray.
Gray?
Yeah, G-R-E-Y. It's what I was told to call him.
It's funny because Noah said, "Oh, we got an email from someone in Kenya. We're gonna have a hard time saying their name." And then I read the email, and the very first line is, "Hi, call me Gray." I'm like, I don't see how we're gonna have a problem with that, Noah.
I missed that part. I read the joke.
I know how to say that word. It is Gray.
Okay, good.
Although I actually would have spelled it with an A, but, you know, to each his own. It's a dude's name.
Maybe he likes David Gray, the singer.
Could be.
No?
No, probably not.
All right. I hope that David Gray hasn't made it to Kenya. I hope we've contained him in the States. We've already failed with the containment operation of Justin Bieber and the Jonas Brothers, so...
Mm.
Oh,
yeah, why couldn't BP just toss a containment dome over Bieber? Probably still leak all that fucking hair.
Bieber?
Bieber.
Has hair?
Bieber's got he's got like his own containment dome of like hair.
Oh, I thought you meant like he was a hairy guy like Robin Williams.
No,
like Bieber?
No, not
I don't
like
think
that.
He's hit puberty. I don't think he can grow any hair.
No, yeah, he just the fucking dome of get a haircut, hippie. That's what I'm saying.
He's coming out with a movie.
Yes, I saw the preview for that movie, for the Justin Bieber movie, which by the way is going to be in 3D. Thank God.
Mm.
But like there keep being interviews with, like, these other kids, like, oh, seeing what he's accomplished, it just inspires me to do so much. I'm like, yeah,
if some white kid can finally crack his way into this world and make it happen, maybe that's somehow all of us can do it.
All of us other talentless, annoying, bitchy, prepubescent white kids.
When you finally see a white kid finally do something in this world, you're like, all right, maybe this world is fair after all.
Very little effort, just lucking into something.
I'm sure the movie's going to make it seem like he worked hard.
Oh, I'm positive. Justin Bieber tirelessly uploaded himself to YouTube. Someone else happened upon it and went, you know what? I think we can market the shit out of this kid. And a star was
born. I don't think I've ever heard a song by that guy. It's weird to me, like, when all of a sudden you start hearing about someone, and it's like, who the fuck are you? Where the fuck did you come from?
I had that yes. same thing with, what's his name? Sean Kingston? John Kingston?
No idea what you're talking about.
Were you talking about suicide? Like,
yeah.
What?
It was beautiful girls, they drive me crazy, or something like that.
Yeah, totally just ripping off. Shit, I can't even remember what song it was he ripped it off.
Stand By Me.
Yes, it was.
I actually like that song.
Stand By Me?
No, his version.
You don't like Stand By Me?
I mean, I like them both, actually.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm going to be there in about 6 hours to kick you square in the nuts if you were going to say that you didn't like Stand By Me.
I hate Stand By Me. Fuck that song.
All right, warm up your nuts.
I will. I'm waiting. You said 6 hours?
6 hours.
Sweet. I'll be here.
Lock it down.
Lock it down.
I have no strong feelings about Stand By Me. It exists.
Shut up.
I neither begrudge its existence nor celebrate it.
When the night has come and the land is dark, come on. It's poetry.
The same could be said about fucking Kenya's TikTok. Or Kesha, not Kenya. Yeah, the whole country of Kenya.
Yeah.
Including Gray. Gray was on lead electric guitar.
Just the entire country shouting at once, don't stop! I don't know any of the rest of the words. I'm sure TikTok fits in there somewhere.
Don't stop, make it clock, baby, you can suck my cock, and that's why you suck, and you sing this song, you fuck. There you go, nailed it.
Sounds about right.
And sad, tragically, I actually kind of like that song.
That's tragic.
Fall victim to Tim's shitty music taste.
Sad, have you heard the thing on YouTube where somebody just flicks back and forth between that and, was it California Girls?
The same one you described to us several episodes back?
Yeah, I'm a little sick right now.
And then we linked in the show notes?
I'm a little sick and I'm a little tired, and I'm sick and tired of your shit, so,
Well, then you've got an hour's worth of it coming, so blow your nose.
Back off, Slappy.
And open up your mouth for a nice burst.
In the meantime, I'm going to read this tan laugh from Ellie.
Ellie!
Ellie.
Which, when I realized she sent two and I read the wrong one first because I should have read this one closer to Election Day. Mm. While walking down the street one day, a U.S. senator is tragically hit by a truck and dies. That's it. That's a joke. No, I'm just kidding.
Hooray! Huzzah!
I don't even need to hear what party they're in. They're again. All fuckwads.
Anyway, his soul arrives in heaven, and he's met by St. Peter at the entrance. Welcome to heaven, says St. Peter. Before you settle in, it seems there is a problem. We seldom see a high official around these parts, you see, so we're not sure what to do with you. No problem, just let me in, says the man. We'd like to, but I have orders from higher up. What we'll do is have you spend one day in hell and one in heaven. Then you can choose where to spend eternity. Really, I've made up my mind. I want to be in heaven, says the senator. I'm sorry, but we have our rules. And with that, St. Peter escorts him to the elevator and goes down, down, down to hell. The doors open and he finds himself in the middle of a green golf course. In the distance is a clubhouse, and standing in front of it are all his friends and other politicians who have worked with him. Everyone is happy and in evening dress. They run to greet him, shake his hand, and reminisce about the good times they had while getting rich at the expense of the people. They play a friendly game of golf and then dine on lobster, caviar, and champagne. Also present is a devil who is really... what? No. Also present is the devil, who really is a friendly guy who has a good time dancing and telling jokes. They are having such a good time that before he realizes it, it's time to go. Everyone gives him a hearty farewell and waves while the elevator rises. Then the elevator goes up, 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 and the door opens on heaven, where St. Peter is waiting for him. Now it's time to visit heaven. So 24 hours pass with the senator joining a group of contented souls moving from cloud to cloud, playing harps and singing. They have good times... They have a good time. Let's try that one more time. They have a good time. Before he realizes it, the 24 hours have gone by and St. Peter returns. Well then, you've spent all day in hell and another in heaven. Now choose your eternity. The senator reflects for a minute, then he answers, well, I would have never said it before. I mean, heaven has been delightful, but I think I would be better off in hell. So St. Peter escorts him to the elevator, and he goes down, down, down to hell. Now the doors of the elevator open, and he's in the middle of a barren land covered with waste and garbage. He sees all his friends dressed in rags, picking up the trash and putting it in black bags as more trash falls from above. The devil comes over to him and puts his arm around his shoulder. I don't understand, stammers the senator. Yesterday, I was here, and there was a golf course and a clubhouse, and there we ate lobster and caviar, drank champagne, and danced and had a great time. Now it's just a wasteland full of garbage, and my friends look miserable. What happened? The devil looks at him and smiles and says, yesterday, we were campaigning. Today, you voted.
Nice.
Woo! That was epic. No wonder I skipped it the first time. I was like, I don't know if I want to read all this.
Words.
That's a lot of reading for a young man who's not very good at reading, clearly.
This is a double joke action from Hale.
Ooh. Yeah, double joke action. Action.
So yeah, sorry. Here we go. This one's for Noah, he says. Your mama... Whoa. All right. Your mama is so fat, the last time she saw 90210 was when she stepped on the scale. Mm-hmm, girlfriend.
Oh, shit.
That was like a weirdo shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. I can't recall if we said this one before or something similar to it, but I'm going to go for it anyways.
Go for it.
What do you call a prostitute with a runny nose?
Noah's mom.
Full.
Oh.
And the tag is the little comment after that. It's funny because snot looks like semen and prostitutes sell themselves for sex.
Sometimes when you over-explain a joke, it makes it a lot funnier. Most of the time, it doesn't. But sometimes, there's one of those rare few times when you're like, I'm going to explain this to you like you're an idiot. That makes me laugh.
I think it was meant to be funny. I think
yeah,
you saw
that's
what
I mean.
Okay.
Like, I think it was intentionally funny because of the over-explanation. Like, I think the joke in itself is meh, but the over-explanation makes it funny.
There you go.
That's Tim, dissecting comedy and killing it.
You're doing it, Hale. He said this a while ago. Well, not that long. I mean, in October. And then he also asked for that if we could replay Andy's little musical interlude. I think we mentioned this before.
Because it was at the end of episode 123, let's say.
Something like that.
Fisting in some butt sex, and some fisting in some more butt sex, then pissing on a midget.
I can just redo it live.
Sorry, what?
I was just gonna say, I could just redo it live. We don't even have to cut and splice it.
Well, there you go.
Go for it.
Hit it, Andy. Bump, 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 bump.
Fisting and some butt sex, and some fisting and some more butt sex, then pissing on a midget for me.
Wah, wah, wah.
Nailed it.
Oh, that brought so much joy. I'm so happy I just did that. I think if I'm ever having a bad day at work, I'm just going to sing that.
Oh, and before I forget, happy birthday to Bryce, our number one listener named Bryce.
Bryce, here's your shout-out.
Here's your shout-out, bud.
You're doing it.
Good
Boom,
job.
Boom, shouted. Oh, and before I forget, Todd actually sent us that joke about the senator and the hell and everything. I don't even remember if we did it or not. Back in July.
What?
Todd
what?
Sent us that same joke on July 1st.
No shit.
Yep.
No shit. Shit in my mouth and call me Shirley.
So I just didn't want anybody to get their feelings hurt. Wanted to make sure that credit was handed out all around.
Covered. That piece is covered, and that piece is covered. We're set.
Oh, did you see that Joe had sent us, you know, we were talking about Bristol Palin and her tits?
Yes.
Apparently, Bristol is rhyming slang for tits in the UK.
What is rhyming slang?
It's a Cockney thing, like, I'm going to go down the frog and something, 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 can't remember more. But it's frog and toad. Toad rhymes with road, so frog is slang. Is Cockney rhyming slang for road?
Okay, so it's a phrase I wouldn't normally be familiar with.
New.
Okay.
So I believe James Blunt is rhyming slang for cunt.
So calling somebody a real James is calling them a cunt?
Oh, so right. Bristol City for titties is rhyming slang because gotcha.
So you say the first word of a short phrase where the last word rhymes with the word that you're actually going to be using.
Gotcha.
Cockney rhyming slang seems really... really complicated to me. Like, every time I try to get my brain around it. It seems like you just got to walk around with this, like, word association map in your brain. Like, right at the forefront, because people are going to be spitting that shit out at you just rapid fire.
Yo, man, you spitting Cockney slang? Oh, shit, son.
They calling me.
And also, I should point out, someone... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I was at, I went to go get some sandwiches last week, and a girl serving, giving these sandwiches had some big Bristol cities.
No, you just say Bristol.
Big Bristols.
Wait, so you don't actually say the whole thing?
Nope. You say,
right, you don't say the part that actually rhymes.
Yeah, so you say frog, not frog and toad.
Oh,
for road.
Odd. Okay.
The UK is far ahead of us in terms of slang words. They're doing shit with slang that we haven't even thought about over here in the States.
Yeah, okay, that does add another layer of complicatedness.
Yep.
Oh, sorry, what were you going to say, Tim?
Well, I posted on the Tancast feed a while back about if you never buy anything from the Tancast Cafe Press store, please don't, just promise me you won't buy anything from Caution Brand Apparel. And Andrew asked what the fuck I was talking about, and here is why. You may have noticed the official Tancast calendar came out a couple days ago, and then went away, and then came out, and then went away, and then came out again. And that was because Caution Brand Apparel lodged a complaint with Cafe Press saying that we were infringing on their copyright because we had one of the pages, it was September, had this like school sign and it said, "Caution, these nerds talk dirty." Apparently, they believe they have copyrighted the word caution and no one can use it. And Cafe Press is so spineless that if someone just says, "Hey, that's my copyright," they will immediately pull that shit down. And so when I asked them, because like, the problem is they didn't tell me that. They're just like, "We've pulled this image just to let you know. You can go look at the image and think about what you did wrong." Like, it doesn't even say, like, who said it, what's wrong with the image. So I'm like, okay, maybe I can't use the school sign, so I changed it to a diamond-shaped sign. I put it back up. It got pulled back down. And so finally I was like, why the fuck does this keep getting pulled down? I'm sure I said it in a much more politic way than that to Cafe Press. I was not as politic when they wrote me back and said, well, these people, Caution Brand Apparel, claim they have a copyright on the word caution. So I wrote them. I was like, how the fuck do you have... I didn't say how the fuck. I remember I didn't actually swear. I was like, how do you have a copyright on the word caution? It's a word. It's a word on signs.
Yeah, and actually, in U.S. copyright law, you cannot copyright a word. You can copyright the use of a word as part of your... a common word as part of your brand for very, very specific uses. And Caution Brand Apparel, which is actually a company wholly owned, I did some research, by one James Vitello of the either Covina, California, or the area thereabouts. So James Vitello has a copyright for caution with the exclamation mark, as applies specifically to undergarments, typically edible undergarments, but any sort of casual wear, nightwear, under things, whatever. Nothing in there about calendars, about signs, about anything else. And there are, in fact, trademarks for the word caution when used with a ton of other products. Also, none of them cover calendars or signs or anything else like that.
Apparently, he sued Nike,
yep,
Kohl's, and Chuck Norris Enterprises.
Yep, and keeps losing. He also sued somebody who had registered caution.com and lost. Accused them of domain squatting. Judge basically threw it out immediately. I actually read the decision, and it was, you know, essentially, there are a lot of brands using the word caution. This person did not act in bad faith. They just registered a common word. It's first come, first serve. The fact that this guy feels particularly entitled to the word caution doesn't change the law. I was like, man, that judge just, like, there's a paragraph of the judge just slapping this guy down.
Oh, also, if you go to, I can't remember what the website is, and I'm fucking sure not going to plug them, but, like, if you go to the website, there's only, like, a phone number. There's no way to actually buy, there's no pictures of their product way to easily buy it. Like, there's no links, there's just some text on the, like, hey, this is our website, caution is a trademark. That's all it says.
And I absolutely do not think anybody should go Google that website and call the phone number repeatedly. That would
no,
be a horrible idea.
Not.
Even
no,
though that
yes.
And legal@cautionunderwear.com are the only contact methods that we know of to get a hold of this guy, I don't think that you should contact this guy or, you know, tell your friends.
Definitely not.
No.
One of the brands of products that Caution Wear does is scratch and sniff underwear.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as I said to Andy, is the worst idea in the history of underwear, and that includes a XXX thong.
XXXL.
Yes.
I'm wondering if this guy even has, like, stuff you can buy, or if it's just a company set up to sue people?
Apparently, he had actual shit, like, a decade ago.
Oh, okay.
I actually suspect that this may be the same James Vitella who's now working as a real estate agent in the San Diego area.
Fucking Andy will track you down.
Oh, Andy will track your ass down.
So, I really started this whole thing just to explain why this product is currently in the Tancast store.
I knew you were making that. I didn't know you were done. It's delicious.
I was chatting with Andy about this, and my original idea was to call him. What did I say? A fuckhole? Or I can't remember.
Yeah, a fucking fuck dick, or
yeah,
a big bag of dicks, or something like that.
And Andy's like, "How about you say waste of skin? That way, everyone can enjoy this sticker." And I was like, "Well, how about I make it accurate and call him an underwear sniffer?"
Yep, I had no argument for that. By the way, in case you're not near a web browser right now, the phone number on the website that you absolutely should not call is area code 626-331.
You hear that, James? You're browsing out the fury of 200 people!
Oh, and what I thought you were going to say is if you're not near a website, there's a sticker on in the Tancast store that says... It says, warning, Vitello is an underwear sniffer, but underneath, warning looks like a sticker, which is placed over the word caution, which is technically, if you want to know, not the word caution, because, you know, you can't see the entire word. So the U is actually an H, and the O is actually an S. So if he tries to pull it down, I'm like, that's not the word caution.
Delicious.
That's cow-tissin.
By the way, you should absolutely... I know there are companies out there that package boxes of poop and allow you to mail them to people. You should not send anything to P.O. Box.
Yes, don't waste your money doing that. Well, you could buy a Tancast calendar.
And then mail it to P.O. Box.
Why? Keep it. Enjoy it. Because, like, my whole idea was like, hey, let's put all the graphics that are on T-shirts so people are like, I mean, I like some of these graphics, but I'm not going to buy 12 different T-shirts.
Yep.
Just put them all in one calendar. That way you can enjoy the graphics if you like them. And if you don't, well, then... I'd recommend not buying it, because it sounds like you're going to be sorely disappointed. Like, fucking, these are the same shitty graphics I didn't like! Fuck Tancast! And then you'll shit on it. And then you could send it to P.O. Box, what was it?
Oh, shit, I just closed the browser.
I'm just kidding, I didn't really want to repeat it again.
Hey, you know what? That sticker might make a nifty purchase. And I'm sure you could actually have Cafe Press deliver it directly to anyone who might enjoy that sticker. Anyone at all. Anyone that comes to mind. It could be a house. It could be a place of business. It could be
Andy
a P.O. box.
Just trying his hardest to get us sued by this Sue Happy motherfucker.
Ha ha, jokes to him, Jack. We ain't got no money.
The great thing is, if he does, I'm going to demand that he move the lawsuit to Georgia so he has to fly out here. Oh, I know just enough law to be dangerous. To myself. Excellent. To myself. I want to be absolutely clear.
I would like to reiterate that even though we're joking around, definitely don't do any of the things we just suggested. And Andy's about to say something funny. I'm going to edit it out.
Well, he didn't say if Noah's going to say something funny, so scrotum.
Oh, that's not what I meant. You say scrotum all you like.
No, I'm done.
Damn you! I'm going to retroactively edit out what Noah just said. So I'm going to yell damn you for no reason.
Oh, what? You didn't say you were going to do that?
I didn't say a lot of things that I'm still going to do. I didn't say I'm going to scratch my nuts, and yet here I am.
It's in my contract. I need warning.
You have no contract whatsoever.
Contract?
None.
Well, Tim scratches his nuts. I'd like to read you a piece of listener mail.
Listener mail!
Captain, incoming message.
You've got mail.
Message for you, son.
DeVale! DeVale is here!
Tancast! Listener email!
This one comes from Max, sent to your mom. Hey, bitches, just finished listening to the latest Tancast, and I wanted to say it was a really good one. The sound editing and effects on the last couple have been really great, and it really makes the show feel more... complete. And I love the old-timey newsreel intro. Thanks, and suck it, Max. Dear Max, thanks. All credit for the editing and sound effects should go directly to Tim. All credit for the rest of the mediocrity, shared equally.
Do you know that me and Tim know Max?
I did not know that.
The actual Max is my friend. Tim has met him.
Oh, that's who that Max is?
All right. Yep. Well, then, Max, all the blame falls on Noah.
Thanks and suck it. Who's he? The one we went to Jack London Square with?
Yep, chicken waffles.
Yes, good time. Oh, fuck! I keep forgetting to tell you. Jerry Brandt from the Drinking Buddies told me that there is a really good chicken and waffle place not far from AT&T Park in San Francisco that he says is not only better probably than the one we went to, but better than Roscoe's.
Yeah, I knew. I heard of some really good ones in the city. I just wasn't sure. Well, I just happened to pick that place because I knew you were going to be nearby anyways.
Right, right.
But yeah,
I just... Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, what's the name of the place?
Yeah.
Sweet.
It's near AT&T Park.
I might have already bookmarked it because I thought a couple places in the city. I was like, oh, I'll check those out someday when I'm in the city. I just don't go that often to eat.
So true. So true. But you did recently go to the city.
I did.
What for?
I went to a event for a website called Gadget. That's how it's pronounced. It's spelled G-D-G-T. It was started by a couple people who started Gizmodo and Engadget. And they were having just a big tech event. People had little tables set up. They had free alcohol. Open bar. That was very nice. And I got drunk.
There was something in your tweet that I'd meant to ask you about, but I can't actually ask you about it on the shoe. So I'll ask you about it over IM.
Oh, okay.
Why are you a dirty faggot? Why can't you be a clean faggot?
I don't know. Because I do not like to wash.
No, I meant that was your question for Noah.
Oh.
And he just assumes I'm talking to him. Oh, well, let me tell you.
Yeah, seriously, I thought you were going after me for the, you know, I can't ask you on the show, so I'll need to ask you via IM. I thought you were.
No. Nah.
You were taking umbrage with that.
Sir, I never. Sir, I must protest in the strongest sense.
Scrotum. Yeah, so.
You got blackmailed into tweeting.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, blackmailed.
Blackmailed!
They had this little booth
that was
setting
up
these rap, like, it's like a film, you put it on your phone, it's supposed to protect it from being dropped from, like, I don't know, she said like 5 or 6 feet. I'm like, that's a
bold
statement.
What is it, like anti-gravity?
What?
Is it like anti-gravity?
It's in my Twitter. I tweeted about it, like what a cool product was.
Like
so they
dropped
would
your phone and just
floats? What?
In midair?
Repeat it, Andy. Repeat it.
I said, what is the film like anti-gravity? You drop your phone and it doesn't fall. It just floats there.
Gotcha. No.
Okay.
I was like, the reason Noah says what is because he did not hear you.
It's because he got all that fat in his ears.
No, I think my thing was a little too low.
Oh.
I try to keep it low so it doesn't pick up over my mic. But
fair
anyways.
Sorry. I'm going to interrupt this story briefly to say that Luke posted on the Facebook Tancast fan page, it's a Sunday afternoon, and I'm sat here listening to the prepisode. My boredom levels have reached an all-time low, and CJ liked it. That made me laugh. Anyway, back to the story, already in progress. Or you guys could sit there quietly and pick each other's balls.
I wasn't telling the story, I was interrupting the story, as were you. Ergo, I'm quiet. Noah, please.
Andy was asking me...
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean that you needed to answer it, like,
well,
right away.
Is there a reason you don't want to talk about that over the thing?
Oh, yeah, I was asking if it means this.
Oh. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't think so.
I'm sure that made for great listening.
Anyway, so, yeah, this girl was like, oh, protect your phone, falls from 5 feet. I'm like, that's a bold statement. And then she threw her phone across the room. It was on carpet, and it slid, but I was like, all right.
Okay.
So then she had me tweet to get it wrapped. At first, I was like, oh... whatever this product was, I can't remember now. Seems like a cool product. And she's like, seems like. I'm like, all right. I'm like, okay, it is a cool product. And then she wrapped up my phone. Like a handy little condom.
Nice.
Blackmailed.
Yeah, thank you. I got tons of free shirts. I got a free iPhone case.
Can you keister your phone comfortably now?
I don't know. Maybe. This is a smooth case.
Was the iPhone jagged before that?
No, it was actually pretty smooth on its own.
I was going to say, I got the impression that the iPhone is a pretty smooth little operation.
Although, maybe this case, since it has like a little lip, I won't get those rough edges. Well, it kind of makes it rough too. I don't know. I haven't tried it yet. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Phone keystring.
Stephanie was telling me that bartenders don't like it if you order a Long Island iced tea. Is that like a thing?
I don't know. They typically don't like things... that have, like, a ton of different concoctions to mix together.
They don't?
Don't like complicated drinks because it takes them a long time to make them.
But Long Island iced tea is not complicated, right?
There's, like, 6 different things that go into it.
Eh. That's a fucking job.
Oh, they really hate, what was it? Mojitos.
Yeah, I don't order those.
Like, you gotta muddle the fucking mint leaves and all the rest of that shit.
But it seems like that'd be an easy fix. Like, if you don't want to make that shit, don't stock the ingredients to make it. Like, yep. Don't stock the shit and then get pissed off if I fucking order it.
Oh, here's the thing. The bartender doesn't run the bar. The bartender is hired to work at the bar.
Then don't fucking work at a bar that serves mojitos.
There you go. Career advice from Noah. Go fuck yourself.
I don't know. It seems like, especially bartending, seems to have, like, so many rules, like, oh, we hate you because you do this. It's like, fuck it, it's a service industry. Just be happy I'm there spending my money.
Especially in this economy, faggot. Sorry.
But anyways.
I'm sorry.
I can't complain about those bartenders because all the drinks are free, so.
I know that at the Improv in San Jose, I found out they hated it when I would order the, I believe it was called the Tropical Tickle.
Yeah.
It was a non-alcoholic drink that was, like, a bunch of different, like, citrus juices.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Apparently they're like, ah, oh, we hate that. I can't believe you ordered that while we're busy. I'm like, I can't believe you give a shit.
Shut up and do your fucking job.
I can't believe I'm forced to order two beverages whether I want you to not. So, fucking make the hard one, dickhole. And you may have noticed, I haven't worked at the Improv in some time.
Well, there you go. Making friends, influencing people. One thing I will say, it's funny to me when they stock people, they put the people out at are at their tech tables, explain the product, like, they have a script, and they know that script, and if you ask them questions on that script, they're like, they'll either say they don't know, or they'll give you an answer that doesn't really answer your question.
Yeah, try to get things back onto the script.
I'm just like, that's not what I asked.
It's like watching basically any interview that Dennis Miller does.
Or any politician.
Yep.
What I don't get, though, is just, like, it seemed like we would get past a point of, like, I mean, there were some hot girls there, but some of the guys were just, I guess, maybe sales guys, like, so maybe they didn't know. But, like, if you're at a gadget event, it seemed like you would want, you'd be prepared for, like, hard questions. Like, it seemed like you would get people who are enthusiasts and maybe ask you a complicated question, but I don't know. But they had some cool products.
Yeah, but they're sales guys. They don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, what are we selling today? Rocks? Great.
Oh, love and rocks. It's funny, like. If you stand there too long, then they just start repeating the shit all they already said. Like, I got nothing else to tell you about this product.
It's like you're...
You know what I like about
like
that part of the story?
You're standing at Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln, and it's just looped once.
Is that what you said, Andy?
Oh, what I love about that part of the story is that means that Noah stands there uncomfortably long.
Well,
there's a walk-up. Hey, tell me everything. Keep going.
Yeah, pretty much.
Keep going.
More. Tell me more.
I'll tell you when I'm done.
You will tell me more.
Like, there's one product that it sounds a little bit like Tumblr, but basically you can post to it, and then it'll push out, you know, you can post, like, text, video, or pictures, and it'll push out to other services, which I kind of like. Because the one thing I don't like about posting something to Twitter and then pushing it to Facebook is that it just posts a link and doesn't post a picture.
Ah.
But anyways, that guy was standing there for a long time. He started to repeat himself. And then, you know, cute girl came up, was asking questions. I'm like, well, I'll stay here a little longer, see what she has to say.
Cute girl. For some reason, your opinion matters to me.
I don't. Do you know who Veronica Belmont is, Andy?
Nope. I know who Veronica Mars is.
That's not her. Well, she was there. She's on Techzilla. She's a I don't know what we would call her. Internet celebrity, I guess.
An internet whoer.
Like us.
More so than us.
What? There's no one more famous than the Tancast Trio.
People actually recognize her. No one came up to me and said, hey.
You guys haven't started your tech podcast yet.
I had a weird-ass dream the other night. The three of us were, I think we were like at Double D's or something like that, just hanging out in the dream, and somebody went walking by, overheard us talking, stopped, turned around, and went, I recognize those voices. You're Tancast. I woke up and I was like, ah, now we're not just internet famous, we're inside my fucked up dream famous.
That actually happened to some of the people from Nostalgia. They were on a plane, and they were talking, and the person in front of them, like, whipped around and was like, are you guys Nostalgia?
That's awesome. Man, I gotta fly more places.
That's what happens with actual internet fame.
But wait, do you want to be recognized?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying, if that actually happened in real life, I wouldn't be, you know...
Like, yeah, if that happens in real life, Andy's gonna be like, what's a Tancast?
It depends on who I'm with. If I'm with you, Jackals, absolutely. Don't take pictures of me. I mean, you can take pictures, just don't post them to your Facebook.
He will deny us three times before the cock crows.
Yep.
It's a little Bible reference for you.
And it'll be Noah's cock, so you know that shit be crowing all the time.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Is that the noise your penis makes, Noah?
Yep. He goes, cock-a-doodle-doo.
That has got to be disconcerting.
A little bit. Especially when I'm trying to sleep. I'm like, I punch it. I'm like, come down there, cock.
Mine just screams. I just unzip my fly, and it goes,
That's what my cock does sometimes.
When I heard Noah say punch it, I thought he was like Han Solo, like he's about to have sex. Punch it, penis! We're going in! Punch it!
Just undoes his fly.
Good time.
My son was making little baby Wookiee noises over the phone to me the other day. It was adorable and very odd. And when I was talking to me on the phone in the background, I just hear...
All right.
I don't know if it was gargling, but it amused me.
Oh, I know it was gargling.
I was more like, what the fuck is he doing? He's, like, he's just walking around in circles making that noise. Like, what did you do to him?
Your kid's going special.
Hey, you know what? If my kid grows up only being to being able to express himself in Wookiee growls, that'll still be awesome for me. I will still be proud of him.
Cracked did a top five list of the top five topics that people are least interested in talking about, or least interested in listening to you talk about.
Uh-huh.
Number five was dreams. Number two was your baby. Andy has covered two of the five already.
Oh, hang on. Let me get the rest.
Well, you weren't in an old rock band. That was number one.
Nope, but I was in choir.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, that's uninteresting. I was in the same choir. I won't even be interested.
You're like, I was there. I'm not even fucking interested in the story.
I was interested at the time. I'll grant you that, but it's done.
What? I thought choir stuck with you forever, my friend.
Nope.
It is. Once you go glee, you never go straight.
So me and Noah saw a movie yesterday.
We did, baby. What did we see?
We saw Unstoppable.
Oh, yeah.
Starring the handsome Denzel Washington and the also handsome Chris Pine. And the not at all handsome Ethan Suplee.
I would say T.J. Miller's not really that handsome either.
He's more handsome than Ethan Suplee.
That's debatable.
Really?
I don't think being fat necessarily doesn't make you handsome.
I think if he lost weight, he also wouldn't be handsome.
Okay, fair enough. T.J. Miller's hair is just... He's got that white boy curly fro going on, and I don't think that's handsome.
In this movie, he was wearing a hat the whole time.
Yeah, but I know it's there.
He could trim it up.
I'm just saying.
It's like, ladies. I know that ugly-ass mop's still under there somewhere.
Ladies, T.J. Miller, Ethan Suplee, who's handsomer?
Gay folks, you too.
Oh, yeah. Don't want to.
You're off the hook. You got to vote.
Guys who are Chris. Willing, straight guys willing to vote on that sort of shit, we'll take your votes too.
Who would you switch for first? Gun to my head, I'm going with T.J. Miller.
All right, fair enough. I meant to ask you, but I don't think I did. Tom, what did you think of the movie?
I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. It was exactly what I had read in the reviews, an enjoyable like popcorn movie.
Had some thrilling moments.
Yes, I also heard that they tried to, it's one of the reviews that they clumsily overlaid this... this subtext of the story of like unions versus the corporation or something like that. I was like, not really.
I mean, it was a part of the story.
They're looking for meaning in all the wrong places.
I was like, it was just conversation between two characters that had to have some sort of disagreement to make them dramatically interesting. Could have been anything. They just picked that. And they're like, no, oh, like it was like one of the reviews that gave it a bad review. It was like, no, oh, I don't need all this fucking politics.
Would you have been happier if it was like Beatles and Stones?
I'm like, really? It was maybe 5 minutes of the movie where they talked about that.
All this politics.
One thing that did not make sense is there's a couple times where it's like, hey, possibly there could be an explosion in this area, so let's gather as many people as possible. Real close by.
Yes, like, these chemicals that will burn your flesh off. Everybody gather around to see them explode. This is where it's not going to happen. So everybody get close as you can. Yes, yes. Bring your children. All your young children. You want to watch them burn and cry. They make such great noises.
Just hang them over the edge like Michael Jackson. Get them as close as possible to the flaming death.
I'm like, really? Why are these people so fucking close?
We need to record a commentary on a movie sometime. I think we should do that as like a, something. Because me and Noah are hilarious, and I'm pretty sure Andy would be as well in the same situation. Fucking all through that movie, we kept commenting to each other. I was like, this is funny shit. say your funny comment, Noah.
All right.
When Denzel Washington was driving the train, and Noah goes...
Thomas the Tank Engine ain't got shit on me. I was beating my chest just now, just to add effect.
Whew, That made me laugh.
Yes, it did. It made me laugh. I was like, that was pretty funny. So, yeah, it was an enjoyable movie. Tim wasn't sure how some things were going to go at one point, so I don't know if anyone else would be the same.
Yeah, I had thoughts about how it was going to end, which the whole reason I wanted to see it early is because, like, I wanted to look up the true story, but I didn't want to spoil the movie, so I'm like, I know I'm going to be weak and just look up the story, so we need to see this before I, you know, before my weakness. Like, I almost looked it up while watching Miracle. Not this story, but I almost looked up the true story of Miracle while watching the movie Miracle.
Oh, okay. I thought you almost looked up the story of Unstoppable while watching. I'm like, what the fuck?
I was like, you know what? Fuck Miracle. I gotta look up Unstoppable.
Tim's just sitting in the theater and he hears Wikipedia whispering for him. Tim, I'm full of facts.
Well, which cracked me up because Tim, you know, Tim is a thrifty fella, so he doesn't spend his money all willy nilly on certain movies. I'm like, I'm surprised you wouldn't see this in the theater. He goes, well, I wanted to know how it ended, but I didn't want to ruin it for myself.
And it looked good. I liked some Captain Kirk.
Oh, like that the movie with the guy with his arm stuck under the boulder, 100 and something hours, whatever the hell that is.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I already know how that one ends.
Yeah, I know exactly how it ends. I've seen it. I've seen, like, you know, I don't even want to say what I've seen, but I've seen, like, documentary footage, whatever. I've seen shit already about this dude and, like, what happened to him and all the rest. And I start to say that stuff, and my wife goes, don't tell me. I'm like, it happened a while ago. It was all over the news.
Oh, yeah, I remember that story. That dude's hardcore. That's all I got to say.
Yep.
I remember a comedian friend of mine has a joke about the outcome of it, which, again, I can't say because, you know, the punchline gives away the...
Yeah, now we're movie spoiler. We're relating, like, commonly known facts become movie spoilers somehow.
It's like if you were to say the Titanic sinks.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
you know
whoa,
that boat's
what the
going
fuck?
Down, right?
I haven't seen that movie
fuck?
Yet.
Fuck! Fuck you!
Speaking of movies that I have seen, I actually did a three movie week in the theater.
I know, this guy's balling all of a sudden.
It was crazy. Well, like, my wife and her friend were going to go to a movie, and since I had driven her to see another movie in that same theater, they said I could stick around and watch the movie with them. And so I did. Which I'm glad I did, because it was way better than the movie we saw first. So, I'll just stop being cryptic and say the first movie was Megamind. Mm-hmm. And I was under the impression my wife really wanted to see it, because she kept singing the song in the commercial and being excited every time it came on. The
Megamind.
That song? Here's a warning to our listeners. That song's not in the fucking movie. From credits to credits, it's not in there. And let me tell you, if your wife was looking forward to it, she's gonna be pissed. Because the movie is way too mediocre to make up for that song not being in there. Not only that, like, the first preview was pretty good. Like, it was it showed the Metro Man, you know, doing the thing at Metro City, and then all of a sudden Megamind shows up, and then, like, he uses his ultimate weapon, and all of a sudden Metro Man's skeleton falls down, and he's like, oh shit, I won. And then that's the end of the trailer. Like, oh shit, now what happens? If you've seen the commercials on TV, they've ruined the entire rest of the movie for you.
Yep.
Because just enough of that should have been enough of a premise. Like, okay, the bad guy wins, now what? But they had to go, like, and here's the next thing that happens, and the next thing, and there's the last twist at the end, and, you can pretty much figure it out from here.
Yep.
Don't bother seeing it. By the way, this song's not in it. You're not getting laid tonight.
Wait, you wouldn't get laid because the song was in the movie?
Yep.
That makes some sense.
I know. Well, because if your wife was looking forward to it and it wasn't there, now she's upset. You've upset the delicate balance of the vagina.
How did you upset it?
No. I apparently forced her to see Megamind because I kept pushing for it because she seemed so excited. So apparently we were both misinterpreting each other.
No, the vagina doesn't need actual fault. It simply needs to be upset.
It's a delicate balance. It's a delicate balance. Like, it doesn't even have to be upset with you. If it's upset, you're not getting laid.
It's like kind of... Not like old, like, you know, just sort of old and slow and sad, but old, like, just kind of the end of what would be middle age, where, like, its bones are a little creaky, but a really huge dog that, like, sits on a porch. And it looks really cute, and it looks like, you know, if you approach it just slowly enough and it's having a really good day, it might let you pet it. But otherwise, it's still fast enough it will take your fucking face off for something someone else did.
That is the most disturbing analogy for the vagina I have heard in a good long while.
Are you saying vaginas have teeth?
Yes, big teeth, and they're still a little sharp.
I will grant you, they are man's best friend.
They are
man and woman's.
When they're loyal, they will defend you to the end.
And if you got peanut butter, dogs.
I got this image of a vagina just going nuts with the peanut butter stuck to the roof of itself.
Sure, something like that.
Oh, so the other movie we saw that I saw with my friend, which was much better, Due Date. Even though, like, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's getting, like, shitty reviews, but I got it. It was a funny movie. And it's not one of those... Someone said it seemed like one of those movies where, like, all the funny parts were in the trailer. Nope. The stuff they could show on television was in the trailer.
Oh, good. Okay. I was a little worried about that. I'm like, this really seems like they're just blowing their load all over the trailer.
There's one scene. Juliette Lewis plays a drug dealer in the movie. Or, excuse me, a medicine supplier, okay. Because it's for his glaucoma. And she has two kids. The interchange between Robert Downey Jr. and those kids, fucking hysterical. And you've only seen one small piece of it in the trailer, and that is not even close to the funniest part of that scene.
Excellent.
There's several things that, like, Danelle was like, whew, that made you laugh. I was, like, slamming the rail in front of me, like, kicking it. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, this is funny. I would say comparable to The Hangover in terms of comedy value.
Excellent.
Interesting.
Excellent.
I did not find The Hangover as funny as everyone else did.
Well, you're dead inside.
Like, it was enjoyable, but like our friend Stephanie saw it like a few times. I wasn't like, ooh, I gotta see that shit again.
I definitely wasn't either.
Yeah, me neither. I thought it was a really funny fucking movie. There were lots of parts where it was like, hey, I don't know where this shit's going. This really seems to be off the rails. And this sort of... You know, brought it all back home at the end, but...
I feel like that was one of those movies where a good portion of the funny scenes were in the trailer.
Oh, I would disagree.
I don't remember seeing Mike Tyson at all in the trailer.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I like totally saw scenes. Mike Tyson.
Oh, maybe I just blacked it out.
The only thing they showed of him, though, was him lip-syncing to Phil Collins and then punching out, what's his head?
Galifianakis? Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember if it was him or Ed Helms that got punched out.
It was Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, so also at the theater yesterday, Noah and I got pulled aside by this marketing group.
And they just sent me an email, too.
Oh, you specifically told them not to send you an email.
Well, I said you sell my information.
Oh, okay. I thought, okay. And it was for this movie, I can't remember, oh, What's Your Number? And it stars Anna Faris, the fucknut who played Johnny Storm in Fantastic Four, and he's going to be Captain America.
Chris Evans.
Oh, there you go. And apparently Ryan Phillippe is in it, but you wouldn't know from this trailer.
Fucking not at all. Like, I don't know if he was, like, doing, like, a photobomb. He was, like, hiding in the background. I did not see him in that. I did not see him in that trailer.
I'm like, I was like, listen, lady, I don't want to tell you your business, but you know you're in trouble when one of the funniest things in your trailer is the Andy Samberg cameo.
So you don't care for him?
And Andy Samberg? I do not.
I think he's pretty funny.
I generally find him annoying.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, yeah, like, you know, Boombox was a funny skit. Chronicles of Narnia.
See, the Chronicles of Narnia doesn't do anything for me. I don't know why everybody is so... has a big comedy hard-on for that sketch. It does nothing for me. Now, the Natalie Portman rap one, that is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, he's not in that video much, so maybe that's why you like it so much. He has, like, one little bit where he sings the song.
I assume he wrote it, so I can give him credit for that.
True. You know he's local?
What? He lives in New York, I thought.
Now, but he's from Berkeley.
Well, shit in my mouth.
You also like the scene at the end with the guy from Reno 911?
Yeah, yes. Danelle really likes that guy, but yes, there was a funny scene at the end. But, like, I feel like they were asking all the wrong questions in that thing. They're like, what can we do to make... If this trailer had more Anna Faris, would it be better? If it had less this? I'm like, no, the problem's not the trailer, it's the fucking movie. Because it's one of those formulaic romantic comedies where the main character reads some statistic that women who've slept with over 20 guys are less likely to end up being married or something like that. So she decides she's not going to sleep with another guy until it's the one. And then someone goes, well, hey, look, one of your exes is now attractive. She's like, oh, that's it. I'll go back through with my exes and find one of them, and that way I don't have to sleep with any more guys to get married. But in the meantime, her annoying neighbor does something. Oh, they don't like each other, but they're going to work together to find her exes, and I don't think they're going to fall in love at the end. Oh, wait, of course they fucking are, because it's a goddamn romantic comedy.
But first, he's going to do something that upsets her. Most likely he will do something to her. Maybe him to her to him, but... And then, you know, he realized he can't be without her. But really, the point of the trailer is to get you into the movie. You know what I mean? Like, once they got your seat in there, your money, what do you think they really give a fuck? I mean,
that's
I'm sure
my
they
point.
Give a fuck.
That's all it's trying to do is get me into the movie. It's trying to get me into a movie that I eventually won't like. I don't like that. I think that's dumb.
Okay. But, I mean, I think that's kind of what trailers are for.
Just show me what the movie is. Don't try and trick me into your shitty movie. Like, no, don't worry. This movie isn't shitty. I'm kidding. It's totally shitty. Thanks for your $9.
Yeah, like those fucking trailers that made Nurse Betty seem just like wildly funny madcap. No. Dark, dark, soul-crushing. I mean, I liked the movie, but it was not as sold. That's like, hey, come in and enjoy this delicious sandwich. Actually, what we have is grilled vegetables. There's no meat. There's no bun. Maybe you like delicious vegetables, but that's all we got. I know we promised you a sandwich.
Yes, I don't like that. Not one bit. I don't cotton to it.
It might be funny. I don't know.
No, it's not. It's not going to be funny.
I'll see it. I'll let you know.
Fuck that.
I won't see it in the theater, though.
Yeah, they were like, so, like, after a while, she just was able to tell, because, like, she had to kept asking me these questions, like, you know, and there was, like, a agree, strongly agree, indifferent, disagree, what I strongly disagree. After a while, she would just sort of figure out my answer. She's like, so you would like to see this in the theater? Strongly disagree. I'm like, yes, that's exactly right. Are you like you tell your friends about this? Disagree.
And that survey took way too fucking long.
Yes.
I'm going to say no next time they ask. And then you don't get no free movie ticket, and then they make you watch the stupid trailer twice. When they started asking me about the movies, I thought I was going to get to see the Thing trailer. I'm like, I'm interested in that.
I'm not even interested in that. I was like, I got to say, I'm not really interested in any of these fucking movies you're showing me.
It's a remake. Yep. I'm curious what they'll do with it.
You got Tron on there? How about Tron? I want to see Tron.
I think they know Tron's going to do all right.
Well, then fuck them. Fuck them in their a-hole.
Yeah, the fact that every time I see the Tron trailer, I go, oh.
So here's the important question. Will you see it in 3D, Andy?
It depends on the reviews, honestly.
Okay.
Because if the reviews say, yep, not worth waiting for, like this is not the sequel we were promised. This is just a bunch of, you know, like fucking Mick G quick cuts. You know, 15-minute fucking pod race right in the middle. I'll be like, you know what? I can watch Tron Legacy at home. But if it's worth going out to the theaters, I'm pretty sure I'll spend the extra $2 or whatever it is, $14, I guess, now.
Wait, Mick G directed this?
No.
Oh, good.
I was like, specifically picking on him for his like crazy camera work over like any sort of substance.
Why not say Michael Bay? That's the accepted. Like,
because I pick on Michael Bay so fucking much. I really needed to pick on someone else this time, so I picked Mick G.
Fair enough. There was a scene. There's many scenes in Unstoppable, because basically it's just Denzel Washington and Chris Pine in the cabin of this train.
I wondered how they were going to make a dynamic movie about two guys sitting in a very, very tiny booth inside.
So they kept spinning the camera like around, like it's as though it's going around the cat. Like, I'm sure they built something special because they can't possibly be in the train because the camera would have smashed into the side of the wall of the train. You all right?
Yeah. Go finish your story.
Oh, okay, I thought you were going to tell me you haven't been recording again.
No.
So, like, the camera kept spinning around. I'm like, who fucking gave Michael Bay the camera? And tell him to stop. Children are vomiting. Just keep spinning and spinning and spinning. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
It's spinning, nigga. It's spinning.
All right, you can't say that.
I had a dream that I was having. All right, so go with me. I dreamed I was sitting down with James Cameron. But for some reason, in my dream, James Cameron directed Unstoppable. And
all right.
We were sitting down having dinner. I was asking him questions about the movie.
Odd.
I was like, so when you did the train scenes, how much was real chain and CGI and miniatures? I just remembered that just now.
That is super odd.
Yes.
I always wonder about shit like that. Just the random shit that your brain comes up with, like when you got nothing better to do with it, where it's like, fuck it, I'm gonna amuse myself. You know what? James Cameron made Unstoppable, and we're going to ask him about it. Strap in.
I think it might have been because I watched a thing about him giving a speech at some 3D Blu-ray convention.
Could be.
And he thinks, you know, that this, you know, 3D has happened. It's not a fad like it was in the past. I'm wondering if it will go away.
Lord, like, I hope so.
Like, has it gone so far that there's just no going back and they'll just keep pumping out? Or will, you know, this kind of die out and then go back to... What's up?
I've got to turn that timer down.
Will we just go back to... regular TVs again.
I think a preview in front of Megamind was 3D. I was like, ugh. Now, granted, technically, Megamind is a 3D movie, but I didn't see it in 3D. But yet, every trailer was still 3D.
Oh, yeah. Me and Tim also played with Move and Kinect.
And how did you like those?
They seemed fine. I mean, I had, you know, maybe, and I don't know if Wii has a game like this, but we were playing table tennis, and that was kind of fun. Like, the controller does look ridiculous for the move, that glowing ball at the end.
Yeah, I like some glowing balls. Wait, I mean, no.
I think what I liked about it is not, I don't know if it necessarily has better motion or anything, but I definitely like, it's less cartoony than...
Like, it looks like an actual video game as opposed to, like, that good Wii!
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, it's got a ton more power than the Wii does, so...
Well, right, yeah. Right. I mean, power. But even... I mean, shove they make realistic-looking people on the Wii.
Yeah.
So he's more realistic than, like, little cartoony characters.
Supposedly, the remake of GoldenEye on the Wii is supposed to look pretty damn good. Like, you know, the new standard in art and realism for the Wii.
Cool. And the Kinect was fun. I mean,
oh, yeah,
simply
you won.
What was that?
Because you won, asshole. Because we didn't recalibrate it to our bodies. That's what I'm going with.
It was tiring. We were playing boxing.
by the last go round, I stopped boxing and just did a slap fight. Surprisingly enough, that doesn't help.
You actually didn't do too bad though.
Yeah, I did. I only knocked you down once. You knocked me down 3 times.
Well, right, but when you were doing the slap, I think you got me close to getting knocked down.
Oh.
Also, it wasn't calibrated for us, so that could have something to do with it.
Yes, it was calibrated for 2 Asian people, which is really not important to the story. I mean, they were just 2 people.
Well, one Asian guy didn't seem like he wanted to leave. Like, he goes, hey, when do you want to play? I'm like, well, can we both fight each other?
Yeah, like, I don't want to play you. This isn't an arcade. You don't have a coin in there.
You didn't put your coin up on the screen.
And then, like, when I lost, like, we were walking away, and the guy's like, yeah, now you can go get some rest. I'm like, you can shut the fuck up.
Tim.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
So, are you thinking about getting a Wii or a Blu-ray player or something to stream Netflix? Oh, I forgot to tell you about something else. There's also what's called a Roku box, which is, I think, like $100. And that
I think it's
Netflix.
Actually pronounced Rocku, but...
I hear everyone say Roku.
Oh. I always assumed it was Rocku. Like,
here I am! Roku like a hurricane!
But yeah, so are you thinking about getting one of those, Tim?
Thinking about it. Not sure yet.
I think a streaming box like the Roku or Rocku, however you pronounce it, might be your cheapest option.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Blu-ray thing is kind of weird, like right now. Like, if you buy one that stops getting supported, it could be possible that they'll come out with extra features that your Blu-ray won't support and it won't ever get updated.
Tricky.
Well, supposedly they've kind of like peeked at what new features they're going to be tossing in.
Okay, so that's not so much a problem anymore.
Yeah, I don't think they've added anything since the BD Live
Big Dick
Blu-ray disc.
Okay.
It's Blu-ray, I think, version 2.0, profile version 2.0 or something like that. And I don't think there's been any talk. At least I haven't heard anything. Let's see.
What's nice about the Roku box is, like, you buy it and that's it. There's no subscription. Well, beyond, I think, if there's other services that require subscription, you have to pay for those, like Netflix. But there's no, like, you don't have to pay Roku any other extra money. And it's wireless. So there you go.
There you go, Negro.
So let's see here. Yep. BD Live is... Profile 2.0. Profile 3.0 was the BD Audio. When did they add? Oh, okay. BD Live is also known as Final Standard Profile. So maybe they'll add other extensions or whatever, but that's the last one that's going to be
profile.
Standard.
All right.
Good enough.
I feel like between Noah and I, we've monopolized this. So before we go out, I want to offer Andy the chance to.
Watched the first episode of Sherlock yesterday.
What did you think?
And
I enjoyed it. I think that Jeremy Brett is still my gold standard for Sherlock Holmes, but the new guy, Benedict Cumberbatch, who I believe has the most British name you possibly can have. He was good. He was fast and. He definitely sold the whole, like, I see the world very differently than the rest of you, and I really think you're all morons because of this.
Those two really reminded me of how... Oh, I told you, I think, before, of House and Wilson.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, you fucking did already say that, Noah.
Yeah, you did. So stop fucking repeating yourself. God damn it.
The guy who plays Watson was in the trailer for What's Your Number. Tim doesn't know that because he doesn't know what he looks like, but he was that... Who was that British guy that she went out with, and she was, like, talking about how she fucked up the accent.
I think that's the dude that's going to be Bilbo Baggins in the Hobbit movie, if and when that ever gets made. The one who plays Watson, not the one who plays
So you
Holmes.
Will watch the other 2 hour-and-a-half episodes?
Yes, I plan on doing that, you know, basically as soon as... Well, my wife fell asleep halfway through that one, so I'm going to let her watch the other half of that one and then watch the other two ones with her. Yeah, I'm very, very interested. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but there's a guy who shows up about halfway through and kind of seems a little bit threatening and a little bit problematic. I was trying to figure out what character that was. And I think I figured out who it was about 5 minutes before they revealed who it was. I think I finally settled and I went, of course, that's who it is.
Son of a bitch.
Yep.
Now you've ruined it for me.
I know.
You asshole.
I like the season finale. I like the final scene of the season finale. Mm. I will say that.
I also didn't realize, I knew that Stephen Moffat, the co-creator and, like, I guess head writer or whatever for this show, I knew that he had taken over Doctor Who with the 5th season of the revamped series, and I knew he had written a couple of episodes for, like, each of the previous seasons. I didn't realize that the ones that he had specifically written were, like, all of my favorite episodes from the previous seasons of Doctor Who. And that he's the guy that created Coupling, which we were just talking about recently. Apparently, he also did a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing called, I think, Jekyll, about 3 years ago. So I'm going to have to see about finding that and watching that, because I love a shit ton of his other work. Yep, called Jekyll. 5 episodes? 6 episodes? Something like that. Yep, 6 episodes, back in 2007.
Nailed it.
Sweet.
And it was kind of funny. It's not being shown on BBC America. It's being shown on PBS, Public Broadcasting Service. And it's shown in what the show that is airing these episodes used to be called just Mystery. Now it's become rolled into what Masterpiece Theater turned into, which is now just called Masterpiece, as like a subset of Masterpiece called Masterpiece Mystery. But the opening credits still use some of the old cartoon shots from the opening of Mystery. And it just kind of took me back, because I used to watch a ton of old shows on Mystery with my dad.
When they were like, it was a bunch of people getting murdered and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
Like a woman laying on top of
a stone thing, right?
Yeah, and she like drapes a handkerchief over a guy's face who's like skulking down below. So yeah, there's like a lot of death imagery and like crazy stuff, people hiding behind masks. And I realized I even remember the tango music that ran with all the animation by heart. Because I watched the old Sherlock Holmes with Jeremy Brett with my dad. Fucking loved those things. Watched a couple episodes of Cadfile, which my dad was really fond of. A couple of Inspector Morse. Basically, anything that ran on Mystery, my dad watched it. And I probably watched about half of the different things that my dad did. So, yeah. Like, just turning on Sherlock and seeing those little flashes, I was like, oh, I remember that fondly. Got a little misty.
And there you go.
Yep. Oh, but speaking of TV, really quickly, since I know we're probably running a little long, either of you guys watch Conan this week?
Oh, shit, yes! I was going to talk about it.
All right, there we go.
Yes, I liked it a lot.
Me too.
Good, nailed it. All right.
Yep.
No, I didn't watch any of it?
No.
What an asshole.
I didn't watch it before. I'm not going to start now.
I didn't watch it before, and I did start now. How do you like that?
Well, good for you.
That's not true. I actually watched the end of his run on The Tonight Show. Just because, like, late night television all of a sudden got interesting during that point. And I was able to stick with the interest stuck with me so that I watched his entirety first week of shows.
Well, I've only watched the first two so far. We missed apparently the Thursday one because too many other things conflicted with it.
At 11 at night?
I think they're putting them all online. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I think you can watch them all the next day.
Well, I mean, it conflicts with Daily Show and Colbert, so we really only need one other thing to poke into the 11 o'clock at night to push that out.
That's what I mean. What else is happening at 11 o'clock at night?
I don't know. You got so many questions. All I know is I looked at it, it didn't record.
Because you fucking failed. That's why. Just fucking admit that you failed and say, oh, shit, I'm a failure.
Your mom failed. She failed all over my face.
She did not fail. She succeeded. She saw Conan, and she said, oh, I'm so much better than Andy.
She said no such thing.
She did. I was on the phone with her
while you were taking your survey. And she goes, by the way, Tim, I'm so much better than Andy. And I said, I know, Mom, I know.
She didn't lie.
She said no such thing.
You have no idea. You weren't on the other end of that phone.
But I know your mom.
I know your mom, biblically.
No, you don't.
With sex.
No.
Penis.
No.
All up in it. Happy Jagaga. Yes, Conan. It's a good show. Tom Hanks was really funny.
Yep.
I like the skit the very first night. You know, the what happened in between NBC and TBS. Especially when, like, when he sits down with TBS and they're like, we have an offer for you. And they slide the thing across the table and he opens it and, like, the bottom flap says less. And he keeps opening it, much less. And he goes, I'll take it.
Yeah, that cracked me up.
It was good.
Also, the promo where he's just sliding around on the desk and, like totally just sexing it up as he's giving it apparently a car wash, that cracked me right the fuck up.
Fuck, they are running the shit out of the promo. Like, oh, Conan God. Is apparently Jesus to TBS.
Yep.
Although his first night beat Letterman and Leno and all that shit.
Kimmel and...
all that shit.
Well, those are the two top people to beat. Nightline as well, I'm sure. Nightline occasionally beats Leno and Letterman.
Yeah.
Although in the month of October, apparently The Daily Show beat Letterman and Leno as well, which is, I guess, a first.
Interesting.
It was a combination of Obama and the rally.
Obama, Obama, Obama.
All right, so there you go. 2/3 of Tancast is pro Conan. 1/3 of Tancast can lick Conan's nuts.
Yep.
Nope.
His hairy Irish nuts.
Not interested.
Hairy Irish nuts?
Nope. Not going to happen.
Hairy Irish nuts!
So is that it? Is that our week?
That's
I'm
a
like,
week.
Please don't let us go out on hairy Irish nuts. Somebody say something else.
Hairy Irish nuts!
That's the same thing.
Supposedly the new latest, again, update for the iPhone's going to come out this week, and it's supposed to speed my little phone up again a little bit more.
I didn't mean start a whole new fucking faggoty topic.
I'm eager for that. That's all I was saying. There's not a lot of other features. I'm just looking forward to the speed increase.
Stop it!
Speed!
Hairy Irish nuts!
Sorry, Chelsea.
Scrotum.
Oh,
I'm going to go have Panda now. Because my good friend Tim hooked me up with the gift card.
Oh, shit.
Al, and his wife.
Panda.
Don't want to leave her out.
That was a good thank you card. Fucking, that was a quick thank you card. Fucking, we gave it to him on Sunday. We had a thank you card on Tuesday.
Wow. Well,
like, he must have just run straight home. All right, yeah, give me the stamp. Fucking write it.
No, your wife has you well trained.
No. Well, no, not that well trained. Because I had a birthday dinner where I got some gifts like weeks ago. And I wrote those at the same time. So I just sat down like, I need to get this done. And I did.
Apparently it pays to be an important person in Noah's life, then he'll get right back to you. You're some third aunt or something. Go fuck yourself. Thanks for the present. Get you a thank you card in due time. In due time.
Although I forgot to seal like a bunch of them, so my mom said she didn't get hers. She just got an empty envelope.
That's awesome.
And she said they even, you know how like normally a stamp over there, they put their little stamp over the stamp, the post, whatever that thing is, the postage stamp.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that called, Andy?
I don't know.
Oh, I know this is going long. I have a quick question for Andy. Oh, are you gonna see? Well, I don't know if this ruins anything.
Wow,
Jesus Christ! Finish the story about the letter and then move on.
You're like fucking Mick Foley. I mean, it's like you got so many things to hit that you're just like, fuck it. I'm just gonna get through all of these. I'm not gonna finish any one of them.
Yeah. So they didn't do the stamp over my stamp. So it's like I guess you could resend it. You could put something in there and resend it. So that's the end of that story.
Hooray.
There's a point in the movie Unstoppable where a train comes off the tracks a little bit and starts to tip over, but then didn't.
Yeah.
If it had started, wouldn't it have just finished?
No, because it means that the center of mass is... Well, wait, let's think about that for a sec.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, it means that the center of mass has moved outside that point, but like if the rails are straightening out or something like that, the force might be able to bring it back, maybe?
Hmm, okay.
No, because the wheels, they're not steered like on a car. It's not like you can steer the wheel to get it back outside the center of mass. I don't know. I'm no train engineer, and I'd have to sit down and think about the physics. I'm going to preliminarily call shenanigans.
All right. Well, you'll see the movie. You can decide yourself whenever that is.
All right. It'll be in a couple of years.
That's it. That's the end.
Because I got this anchor. This anchor that looks like me.
It doesn't look like you. Your baby's cute. Boom!
That's how I introduce him to people, actually. I'm like, hey, it's my kid. I know, right? I couldn't believe it either.
Am I right or am I right, huh? Huh?
Am I right?
Yeah, he's got the same double-jointed thumbs as me, but fuck.
That's what I'm saying. What's the deal with this kid?
Why is he so good-looking?
Who are the ad wizards that came up with that one?
Why does he stare into my soul?
Why, a decade after Irrelevance, are we still quoting Jerry Seinfeld?
Because he's hilarious.
Because Irrelevant. He's the gold standard for hacky comedian sound.
Oh, okay.
Even though he was not a hacky comedian for anyone who's bashing.
Like all the people who were trying to be like Jerry Seinfeld were the hacky ones, but...
Exactly. All right. Tancast 125, out.
Done.
Nailed it. Nailed it shut. Oh, and one thing for Hale.
It was very interesting. Gildo.
All right, everybody, have a week.
Fuck, an hour and 30. That's going to be a fucking long-ass edit. God damn it.
Enjoy.
Congratulations, you actually made it through an episode of Tancast. If by some miracle you liked it, why not tell your friends so even more people can share in this? Or you could tell a stranger by leaving us a review at iTunes. You could also tell more strangers by going to our official Tancast store at cafepress.com/Tancast. You can find a link to it at Tancast.com, where you can also read our blogs, leave comments on this or any other episode, and you can find links to our Facebook fan page and our Twitter fan page. Thanks, as always, to DJ Technoid, who composed the official Tancast theme. Once again, we appreciate you putting up with our bullshit. We'll catch you next time on Tancast.
Tancast. Don't forget to nominate us at podcastawards.com.
Oh, wow. This is episode 125. That's 5 cubed. Hooray, all math wizards. Enjoy that.
There you go. Math queerness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whew, excuse me. Mm.
That's okay. Oh, I feel about the same way.
Stop that.
All right.
We're out for a rousing start.
Nice.